Everybody, we'll get this spaces started in just a few. Hey, Craig, welcome Fraser up to the stage. Fraser, is anybody else joining as a speaker from your other account?
Hey, I don't think so. Matt, is that you I see on here? And also, am I coming through fine?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Yes, you're loud and clear.
Fantastic.
Give it just a couple of minutes to get people to load in. Hey, Matt, thank you.
Is anyone else watching what looks like a watery apocalypse in Dubai?
No, miss that. What's going on?
Oof. I'll fire some videos into our chat, but basically I think it's the worst storm they've had in 23-24 years. There's like the roads are flooded, there's cars abandoned, you've got like water pouring through shops, the whole thing is a total mess.
Wow.
I had to take the metro out of the airport earlier because the queue for cabs was hours long, and it was the same for Uber. So it's been an adventure.
That is amazingly unusual, right? I mean, flooding is not really what you expect in Dubai.
And then to the point where there were events getting cancelled today, left, right, and center. There was a running joke earlier that obviously that was meant to be Atom Dubai, I think. And of course, Cosmos has arranged like an event or conference in a desert, and it was cancelled because of rain. Just absolutely incredible.
It is. Wow, man, that's too bad. Because I was really, really excited about what's going on there and the conversations that are going to be had.
Hopefully they'll find another venue. Sure. I think they're trying to arrange for hopefully later this week. But yeah, it caught me by surprise. Final bit of that is flew in this morning and we were circling for an hour. Then they started the approach and we had like half an hour of turbulence before we landed. So I can understand why they kept us up there for so long. It's good fun.
Good. So you're well shaken.
Yeah. Wide awake when I got in.
Yeah, I bet.
Say the least. Well, with that, let's get started. You guys all ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ready to roll? Cool. So there's like so much energy right now and excitement after that video we dropped. If you guys have not seen yet, head over to our bio and check out the amazing video that we just dropped and watch it after we're done chatting here today. So today at Spaces, we're featuring Andromeda and Check. And I'll be your host, Angela Brazenton. I'm the chief of ecosystem at Andromeda. And I'm really excited to be here alongside our partners, and I'll introduce them shortly. So today we're diving into the exciting details of our collaboration with Check and exploring how we're empowering developers and revolutionizing trusted data market. And we want to hear from you, so don't be shy. Raise your hand, come up to the stage and ask us questions or share your thoughts. So joining me today are Brendan Cooper, core contributor of Andromeda, and Fraser Edwards, CEO at Check. Welcome. Welcome to you both. If you'll introduce yourselves and give a little background.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Angela. Yeah, excited to be here. Excited to be on stage with Checked. The what we're going to be able to do together is absolutely amazing. Web3 is just got shot out of a cannon. It's about to start going really, really fast. And I can't wait to tell you all about how Andromeda and Checked do that together. But let me start a little bit and tell you the audience a little bit about me. My name is Brendan Cooper. I'm a 30-year technologist. I've been building scaled custom software for pretty much my entire career. I started out doing really large credit card processing systems. And most recently, I was leading the digital transformation for the largest collectible company in the world. And that's where we created mobile free-to-play games and e-commerce, mobile commerce, and the first officially licensed NFT trading cards for the NFL, the NBA, the English Premier League, the FIFA World Cup, and a lot of other globally recognized brands. And along that journey, I connected with one of the other core contributors at Andromeda, and that was Cody Marks Bailey. And he had, we were trying to do some things with Ethereum and the, you know, public infrastructure, but you know, the second generation technology just wasn't good enough for what these global licensors needed. And so we moved on, we stayed in touch. And when Cody called and said what was, and showed me what was possible with the next generation of technology, well, I joined the revolution, and we'll get into that shortly. But over to you, Fraser.
Cool. And yeah, thanks for having me. Really been looking forward to this week and this one. So yeah, hi, I'm Fraser, CEO at Checked. So prior to founding Checked around 3 years ago, I think it is, I was a tech consultant for my sins, mostly working with governments, central banks, private companies, things like the NHS in the UK as well, on building self-sovereign decentralized ID tech. So whether that was doctor credentials or bringing all your passport documents or travel documents together for international travel, or quite luckily building cross-blockchain payments with a couple of those central banks, just working in general around kind of the blockchain and identity space for quite a few years. And then Spot the Gap, which is kind of where Check came from, to monetize data, put it under individual control, return to that kind of privacy model, ownership model, and ultimately give everyone back control whilst making all the commercial side of things work. So yeah, very happy to be here and looking forward to the rest of the session.
Thank you. Awesome, guys. Brendan, can you give everybody, for anybody who's not clear, a brief overview of AOS, Andromeda, and Andromeda's operating system?
Sure thing, Angela. So Andromeda, after 3 years of development, and just yesterday, we launched onto our the Andromeda blockchain, the very first Web3 operating system. And what it is it's a multi-chain and cross-chain operating system. Think of something like Microsoft Windows or your the operating system you interact with on your mobile phone. It's got a familiar and intuitive user interface. It's got a file system for your digital assets. And in this case, it could be NFTs and DeFi instruments. It's got an app store, and it's got a whole suite of developer tools and utilities that let anyone build very sophisticated, highly capable applications that make use of the very best blockchain technologies that are out there. And so it lets you connect and interoperate with across blockchains on a single chain or and across projects. And this is where we'll get into it when we're talking about what Checked built, because we get to be play an important role in helping all the other projects in the world connect to what Checked's doing, which we think is so foundational. So this operating system, it's got a no-code builder. It's got a low-code builder. It has a command line interface for elite developers. And it has all the tooling you need to model, prototype, and actually publish lots of different use cases and solve lots of different problems right out of the gate. So that's a quick overview. And I guess I'll stop right there for now.
I know we could go on forever, right?
Yeah.
But for now, Fraser, if you would also like to give just kind of a high-level overview of CHECT as well, that'd be great.
Yeah, happy to. And I think just before I start, I love kind of Brendan's point around just make it super simple. It's obviously one of our, like, part of our core mission, and this stuff has historically been way too hard to develop and operate on. So yeah, that's why I'm so excited about Andromeda. So yeah, to give a bit of background on CHECT. So where we kind of started is we're also a Cosmos Layer 1. What we're focused on is providing payment infrastructure, specifically privacy preserving payment infrastructure for decentralized ID, self-sovereign ID, credentials, whatever you want to call it. So the idea that you can get your data back from companies, break open these silos, but we can make sure that the money and the value and the commercial side of all of this works out. So that means rewarding you. It means whoever receives that data in the future, either paying the original issuer of that data, be it a company or an organization or a project, all with the idea that we kind of return that data to your control. And also, I think over the long run, try and improve privacy at the same time. That's obviously started off at a transactional level. But we'll be moving that more into much more kind of complex models and allowing ecosystems to flourish. And obviously part of that is providing a trust layer up into Andromeda and providing all these kind of decentralized ID capabilities up into yourselves. And then I can see the logo in the space. So, and the other side of things is creds. So a decentralized reputation builder for starting off with Web3 communities, with the idea of protecting members of those communities from scammers, from fraudsters, but also allowing them to build up their reputation across different communities, build up that kind of Web3 CV, and be able to share that off. Obviously here representing the network, but couldn't resist representing creds at the same time.
That's awesome. Thank you. So as you guys can probably see clearly based on those two explanations, the partnership between Andromeda and CHECT makes a lot of sense, right? It represents an exciting advancement in data management and trust infrastructure within the space. And essentially it empowers developers on AOS, on Andromeda's operating system, to build more secure and, keyword here, user-controlled decentralized applications. And I think that's really important, especially as the space continues to evolve. And that last part you said, Fraser, about the verified credentials is really exciting too, because as a lot of you know, we're building out Web3 University, and that's going to play an important role in verifying what students have learned and what they're capable of utilizing this technology. So I'm really excited about all of that and building that out a little bit further. So with that said, let's talk about the ecosystems here. Brendan, if you could kind of jump in and provide a bit more of an overview of the platform itself and where we're going here with our goals.
Yes. So Andromeda as an operating system, it is connecting and interconnecting all the different projects and blockchains where the AOS is installed. And when you start connecting things like that, you start getting something called network effects. Now, network effects are extremely important and have been important historically. 70% of all the value creation in Web2 accrued to network effects. And unfortunately, those network effects accrue to just a handful of the largest technology companies. And what we're doing is a complete re-architecture of the internet that's built on people controlling their data using solutions like checks and a fully decentralized Web3 operating system like Andromeda. And so when you think about network effects, imagine the very first telephone, it's not very useful because it doesn't connect anything. But as soon as it connects to your friend, you can call your friend. And as soon as it connects to the next million or billion people, it really gets powerful. And this is describes network effects. With Andromeda network effects, these operate in several different ways. But if you're a developer, you can build on any single chain, but without an operating system and network effects, you're limited to the user base and the capabilities of that single chain. With network effects, you get access to all of it, and all of the users across the AOS ecosystem get access to that developer's capabilities that they're bringing to market. So the network effects are really, really important. But when we look at lots of different capabilities of bringing an operating system into Web3, one, the overall infrastructure in L1s, it's finally getting mature enough. It's good enough. We've got scalability solutions. We have privacy solutions. We have SSID solutions. Like, we have all these capabilities that are coming together, and they can be brought to bear and to build really powerful applications. And so speed of development is a key effect of having a Web3 operating system. And again, those network effects drive the total addressable market for everyone that's involved. Like, it's the network effect accrues to everyone because this is public open infrastructure. These network effects, the value accrues to everyone, not just a handful of tech giants. So the ability for an operating system to let you extend the existing capabilities of your project, extensibility is key. Of course, ease of use is one of the chief complaints of Web3 today, because it's just so hard to, it's hard to build, and it's hard to onboard the next billion users, because you have to remember lots of really complex and, you know, difficult, it's a difficult onboarding process. So an operating system helps create ease of use. Finally, there's a with a whole set of tools, not just software development tools, but also the utilities and marketplaces and those kinds of things that you can drop into your existing website to really get up and building quickly, so that you can bring solutions to market, and so that you can create and innovate new business models. And that's the kind of the key effects of an operating system. And we're just repeating history. When you go back and you look at the history of the PC, for example, microcomputers were just for hobbyists. They were for people that had a lot of time to invest, and it was really a struggle to create anything. And then when there was a widely distributed operating system, everyone, the PC makers, everybody, the software developers, then we got all the interconnectivity with Web 2. All of this emerged with our operating system. And then, but, you know, Microsoft missed the opportunity to create a mobile operating system. And then, you know, Apple stepped into that, and then they created one. And once they created a highly capable, widely distributed operating system, and Android followed shortly after, you ended up again with all these network effects, and it changed the world. We're doing the same thing with Web3. Web3 needs an operating system so that all the best capabilities and the brightest minds can be connected, and to solve the world's software needs. And we are in a position to do that.
Really, really well said, Brendan. So many parts that I wanted to respond to, but I will say the user-friendly part is so on point and so necessary. I did a build yesterday alongside Leif from our team, and the look and feel is familiar. And I think that that is a really important component for attracting more developers. And especially when we think about Web 2 developers and how many there are versus Web 3 developers, it's important that that familiarity is there so that they feel they can understand the tooling and really use it. And then the unique thing I think about Andromeda is the resources we have alongside our tooling is really helpful and usable. It makes our software usable. There are so many videos and docs and walkthroughs and tutorials that allow, whether you're a Web 2 or a very experienced Web 3 developer or somebody who's kind of just getting into it all and wanting to learn, I have to say it's really supportive documentation that helps somebody use this system really well. Okay, with that said, I think I'd like to talk a little bit more about trusted data markets and explaining, kind of, Fraser, if you could talk about what they are and how they can be leveraged within Andromeda's ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually got a couple of points to chuck onto Brendan's stuff as well, because I think, I think just for Andromeda, I mean, it's perfect for you guys. The time really is now. I think it runs off the back of something that Stanny from Lens said at ETHCC last year, like tweeted out after it, where loads of people were talking about infrastructure, but not enough people were talking about applications and use cases. And I think that's where Andromeda, like, it's kind of your sweet spot. It's like making those use cases as easy as possible without having to worry about all the infrastructure. And the other kind of data point that I'll chuck in was, I won't know who the VC is, although I think they tweet about this every so often, but they took like a pretty big shot at Celestia, saying that, like, basically there is enough block space and enough storage available already, like valuation just doesn't match like the need, and really it's now we just need to, like, there is basically enough block space, like we've got enough block space, enough infrastructure. Now it really is on dev tooling and building out solid use cases at scale, and doing so with the network effects that Brendan mentioned. Like, that's really needs to be the focus now, rather than like, yeah, more network infrastructure that like maybe add some block space somewhere. I think the time has changed and kind of the focus should too. And yeah, like I was saying at the start of this, Andromeda is perfectly set for it. I think if I then kick on to kind of trusted data markets or how we're looking at those. So it's got exactly the same network effects that Brendan was mentioning. So it's the way that we've always thought about this. It's why we made sure to partner up with as many self-sovereign decentralized ID companies as possible when we started, because we knew that if we were trying to do this on our own, we could only ever tackle one use case or one industry one by one. And so to give just a brief, I guess, recap or a brief introduction to how we think about decentralized ID and self-sovereign ID, which is maybe different to most people. Mostly when you'll hear people speak about this topic, they'll talk about digital identities, they'll talk about like data and credentials. And we think they're basically missing a whole second part of the tech or the concept, which is that all of this data, all of these credentials have value. And that value currently, if you look at the way that like data is managed within a company, typically what happens at the moment is you will have a company that's like aggregated all this data on its users. It will start aggregating and selling that data via APIs. And what happens at the moment is the company can charge via those APIs whenever that data is pulled. So they're getting either insights or a specific piece or something. The crucial thing that changes with SSI and seems to have been missed by a lot of people working on it is you've got this split between when someone accesses the data and when value is generated from it. And so you now have the situation where the value transfer actually has to be kind of done at the point of use in the future when it's reused as a site, instead of at the point where it was accessed originally. So rather than looking at this as a purely like, oh, we're just moving data around, we look at this as two things going on. There's data moving around and there's corresponding value being transacted, like either at the same time or in the future whenever it's reused. And so kind of following on from what Brendan was saying around network effects and markets, the big problem in self-sovereign or decentralized ID at the moment is a supply side problem. It's a two-sided marketplace. You have demand supply. We know pretty much that the demand side is there. If you give people data that is cheaper, more trustworthy, reusable, they typically rip your arm off. The challenge with it is getting it out there in the first place. And because this has always historically been talked about as an identity or data problem rather than a value problem, that data is basically locked up inside those silos. So what we've been focusing on is make it so that every time that data gets reused, whoever issued it, whoever released it in the first place gets rewarded as well as the user. And the whole purpose of this is to solve that supply side problem. And then again, I'm going to keep on referring back to Brendan's network effects, but because we can then solve the supply side problem, then there's a case of connecting up with demand side. And the really nice dynamic there then is if you are issuing this data, it is inherently in your interest to go and recruit as many people who will either consume it or receive it and will pay for it in the future. And correspondingly on the demand side, as soon as you've got a taste for this, where one of your suppliers or providers gives you this data in a digital trusted and cheaper, you'll start requiring it for as many places as possible. So you naturally have, rather than just ourselves recruiting people, you'll have all these organizations around the world recruiting each other. And so it becomes this virtuous flywheel as it accelerates. But all with the purpose of, getting that data out ultimately and back under individuals' control.
Brendan, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I'm just, the world's been waiting for a long time to have this opportunity to reimagine how the internet's architected. You know, it was built in the beginning as an open internet for anyone to use. And then, but it got co-opted because it became more valuable for the people who enjoyed the early network effects to trap your data inside their systems. And, we're talking about Google and Facebook and the lot of tech giants out there, and that's worked for them, but for the future and the future we want, we've got to do it a different way, and we have to be in charge of our data. And that at its foundation, like the starting point with that, is your identity. So what Checked is bringing to market, is that starting point. It's when you think about the applications that you build and what you're bringing to market, when you empower the users to have the control and the access to their data, and when you can create these data markets separately and in a completely different way than what emerged from Web 2, that's the future we want. And so, I get excited about it. It's what gets me up in the morning, because now that we have the application tools to start building lots and lots of applications, things are about to change. It's about to start moving really, really fast, because we've got these foundational elements in that Checked's bringing to market and Andromeda's bringing to market, and the result is a proliferation of new applications. You know, we've been trapped in this NFT world and the DeFi instruments, and by the way, those are amazing breakthroughs. Those are revolutionary breakthroughs. DeFi and what it can do and how it's scaled, how it performs, the value it creates, the returns it's generating, it's fantastic. And with NFTs, we're just scratching the surface of what they can do. And the future, what the future holds for an NFT is that everything in the world can be connected to an NFT usefully. So again, this future that we've built, I mean, it's finally arrived. I know Checked and Fraser and team have been building and have got Checked finally to a position where it's in the marketplace. AOS launched yesterday, and we're about to step on the gas. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I am too. This partnership is exciting for a lot of reasons, and just empowering people to take control of their digital identities and their data. I think overall it's fostering a more secure and user-centric ecosystem, which is, like you said, Brendan, exactly what we want for our future. So I love it. I think that's really exciting. You guys want to discuss some of the opportunities for innovation, you know, maybe specifics for growth for developers using these markets, or anything else that you'd like to discuss?
Yeah, I have to. Oh, unless Brendan, you want to go first?
You go ahead, Fraser, but I'm ready whenever you're done.
Cool, awesome. Yeah, I guess it goes back to what we touched on at the top of the space around just speed and ease of use. It has just been way too difficult to do this stuff, and now it gets easier. And the example I keep on thinking about is when like developing using telephony and SMS and calls used to be super, super difficult. And then Twilio came out and it was so easy to consume. And suddenly loads of people were like building like completely innovative solutions that just didn't exist before because the tooling was so hard. And I think we're going to see the same thing this time around. Just as the tooling gets easier, it's going to move away from, I think developers who, like a lot of people, have been coming from like more the financial side of things. Like the number of times you'll speak to a developer and it turns out that they were like an ex-quant from a bank, like it's higher, it's so high as a percentage. And that really needs to shift into anyone who's interested in building a solution being able to do so and do so confidently and like easily. So I completely agree with Brendan. There's going to be this big explosion. And I think it's less concrete examples, I guess, that I'll go into. But I think the interesting parts for me are bringing kind of any element of identity or reputation verification into like anything built with Andromeda. So this could be permission voting, where you need a certain, like you need a role within a DAO, you need to demonstrate certain expertise, you need to demonstrate certain commitment or behavior or persistence with regards to like a protocol or like just time. Or we could be looking into permission DeFi, which seems to be a big angle for institutions where they need to know their counterparty and they can't just operate on public permissionless pools. But there's so many more. Those are just the two of that come immediately to mind. And then I think a second area that's going to be key for us is we always spoke about, since we formed the company, around these customizable commercial models where like a consortium could come in, or a set of organizations or even individuals can come in and start deciding how much, like what data should cost within that consortium and what the rules are. And maybe that is just transactional, maybe it's volume-based discounting, maybe it is just everyone mutualizes it, like the cost of the platform collectively based on usage. Or we can start doing things like informal looking at with minimizing payment graphs and therefore reducing the amount of capital required to pay those graphs. And all of those, like it would be so much easier for our clients and consortia that we're looking at to do that using something like, well, AOS, where they're not having to go down into the real depths of like the nuances of each language or the nuances of each network. Being able to have all of this abstracted so that it is really, really easy to consume is going to be so key. I guess just a final almost shameless shill. Like it's one of the things that we've done with creds is you should be able to go in and start issuing credentials without needing to write a single line of code. Now, obviously AOS is geared towards a different community, but like the whole focus for us was we can get people up and running inside 3 minutes. And I think if we can do the same thing on the developer side, we suddenly remove it having to be such a deeply technical thing that loads of people just walk away from it or are concerned that they're basically intimidated away. So yeah, I think those are probably like a couple of actual use cases where I think we can contribute into Andromeda. And then an area I'm really curious about is how we can use Andromeda to make those commercial models and the customization of those like way, way simpler.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? It's so exciting listening to you, Fraser. It's amazing. We've spent all this time together and I don't think you and I have actually touched on together the idea of consortiums, but when we created our underlying tokenomics model, we called out the need for consortia to be able to come together and form groups and decentralized alliances of any kind, you know, and create a collection of users and aligned interests and to be able to build applications that service them in that that network. And so yeah, I love that. And also the part we were talking about simplifying the payment graph, absolutely. The collaborative finance, and Ethan Buckman and the vision he's got around that is just really on point, and we're very much aligned with that. So that's something for us to explore with haste. When we think about everything that we rolled out yesterday, we've got a whole series of videos and documentation, step-by-step guides on how to create NFTs. You can create real-world assets. You can do it with batches. You can prototype. You can do it across chain. You can manage all kinds of different NFT connected real world assets. And so we've got that described. We've got other coming up, we've got different markets, decentralized exchanges and swap and forwards and lots of different DeFi tooling that, again, is, you know, we've got a no-code builder that'll let you drag and drop and create solutions and innovate towards business models. And in my listening to you, Fraser, that when you start talking about the business models and payment graphs, that's a new level of innovation that we haven't seen in the market today. And again, there's finally enough components and enough capabilities that have been engineered across Web3 that we can start assembling these in novel and powerful ways. And the operating system lets you do that. But, you know, when we're talking like this, these possibilities exist today inside AOS. And when we look out to all the users that we're inviting in, there are 5 different use cases and videos, and they're ready to go and ready for people to come in and of almost any skill level. I've got my we just rolled out, I'm hoping in the next week or two I can have my 80-year-old mother. I'm going to sit down with her and I'm going to ask her to create a meme coin or an RWA solution and publish it, just so I can have, you know, so I can actually go out and tell the world, you know, my 80-year-old mother did this. And now she's pretty bright, but I think, and I mean, she's sharp. So, but the tooling is for a starting release, I'm really proud and excited about where we are with AOS. So I'd invite everybody to take a look at it, look at our documentation, and just see what you can start building. Because as we start interconnecting all the different projects, we unlock a lot of new opportunities, and the listeners are going to want to take advantage of that, because if you're not building in a modular, composable fashion, using a Web3 operating system, you're going to get left behind, because the people who do can build so much faster and much more capably. Over to you, Angela.
Thanks, guys. This is awesome. I love hearing you guys speak. Yeah, the opportunities really are endless, I feel. And the more developers building and users using AOS, the better it will be. The more we'll realize what we need and the more we'll create. And so the flywheel goes. I want to make sure we give the community a chance to ask any questions if they have any, or feedback if you have. Please raise your hands. Feel free to come on up. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And, you know, I also just want to remind everyone there's a lot more to come between the collaboration with Andromeda and Checked. And as we continue rolling out AOS throughout the month, we have a lot to share. I definitely encourage you all to stay close and follow along. Fraser or Brendan, is there anything that we didn't cover so far today that you definitely, that you'd like to add in while we wait for people to ask us some questions?
Well, yeah, so I would invite everyone to check out Andromeda. If you go to andromedaprotocol.io, you can find our website. You can find our Twitter, which you probably, if you're on the here, you probably already know, but we've got a, you could find the link tree that gets you to all the different places that you need to go. We do have a test net, although at this point we've got a production ready system that's, and you can access that progressively over the next week. We've got kind of a slow rollout going, but the, all the assets and resources you need are on the website. So go check it out.
And I think as an extension, the big thing on our list is we're about to upgrade mainnet. And we've obviously been coordinating with the Andromeda team in the background of like, when do we start this effort to start hooking all of this up? And quite understandably, your team was very much focused on like getting everything live and getting out the door. And I think we're probably about a week away from upgrading mainnet, after which I think there's going to be a bit of a meeting of the minds and some planning on how do we get all of this hooked up so we can start getting identity capabilities in there as well. So really looking forward to that over the next couple of months. And I think, you kind of touched on it just there of like, there's so much more to come. I think what I really love about this partnership is when you compare it to so many of the others that you see announced, not by ourselves, but that you see in the market, like it's based on genuine utility and use as opposed to just fluff. So really looking forward to see what people create, but also the stuff that we can kind of, announce as it goes out. So it's going to be really cool.
Yes. Yes, it is. If nobody has any questions, we really appreciate you. I want to thank you for joining us today and for being an integral part of our community every day. I also really encourage you to go watch the video we just shared today. It's pretty awesome. And tell us what you think in the comments. We'd love to know if you got on AOS. Let us know. Like, we want to hear from you and hear what you think about the awesomeness. I got on there yesterday and it was really fun, and I wouldn't consider myself a very techie person, and I just was blown away at how easy to use it was and how, like I said earlier, familiar it felt to access and to use everything. It was just very easy to understand. The interface is incredible, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on the team. It's really cool, so get over there and check it out if you can. Brendan, Fraser, thank you so much for your insight, for giving everybody a little more intel on our collaboration and what that means for the developers in our ecosystem and what that means for our community as a whole. I'm really excited for it. I'm excited for what's coming next. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Fraser.
Yeah, thank you. No, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
This is principal and like Taoism. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably it kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web 3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yam, Beto, and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
They started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we'd call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here, rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shitcoin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts, and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better just like move on.
Channel spaces.